Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It certainly is, and this morning we're chatting with Dr. Geoffrey Hansfield, who is part of the Auckland Bioengineering Institute. Specifically, he's working with musculoskeletal modelling and the group at the ABI, who is using computational modelling to understand muscle degradation and cerebral palsy. Kia ora, Geoffrey. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. Hi. Yeah, good. It's good to be here. I'm doing just fine.
That's good to hear. It's really nice to chat to you today. Now, this is really interesting research that you're doing, looking at cerebral palsy, which is, something that we don't necessarily diagnose until sort of early-ish childhood, but you're hoping we can get those diagnoses done much sooner. Tell us a wee bit about your research.
So we're looking at basically muscle degeneration in cerebral palsy. And cerebral palsy is a little bit paradoxical because it's a neural disorder. So it starts with a lesion in the brain, the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And that neural insult or that neural lesion is defined to be non-progressive, which means it doesn't change over time, over the life of the patient.
Right.
But we see actually really dramatic changes to the musculoskeletal system. So the muscles will degenerate over time. Patients will develop contractures and impaired movement. They'll have difficulty walking, and that tends to progress and get worse as they age. And so we're kind of trying to understand, why is it that a non-progressive neural disorder leads to these clearly progressive and progressively worsening musculoskeletal effects?
So currently, what does, I guess, research allow us to know about cerebral palsy and the muscular degeneration? Because it seems that you're trying to catch it earlier or understand it earlier, but what do we currently kind of have as a framework to work with?
Well, I guess conventionally, in the sort of current framework, patients will be diagnosed usually around something like 4 or 5 years old is relatively common.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the movement impairment will first be noticed, right? So altered movement, maybe some spasticity or contractures around the joints. It's not typically noticed really, really early on, although there's some evidence that we can, using some technologies, observe different motion of, say, an infant or a young toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that because that time period precedes when the muscles will really degenerate, if we can catch the disease at that age, at that very young age, then we can actually start to intervene and do some physiotherapies or some other interventions that can sort of prevent those muscles from going through this kind of degeneration that we can observe.
So broadly speaking, what is musculoskeletal modeling?
Well, the musculoskeletal system is basically the muscles that are responsible for your movement. So you have three different types of muscles in your body: your cardiac muscle, which is your heart; your smooth muscles, which are your involuntary muscles that help in digestion and sort of movement of blood throughout your body. But the skeletal muscles are the ones that I'm interested in, that my research group's interested in. So these are the ones that most people think of. These are the ones that move your bones, move your joints. And so the musculoskeletal system is those muscles as well as the bones, the joints where the bones meet, and that cartilage, the connective tissue that links it all together. And so that's what we're really interested in.
So how are you doing your research? I see that you're working with MRI a little bit, but what does your research actually look like while you're gathering information?
So we do a lot of work with collecting MRI data, so coming up with new ways to use MRI scans so that we can capture in really, really high fidelity and high accuracy skeletal muscles and tendons and cartilage and bones and joint tissues. So we capture that information using MRI. So we take live participants, live recruits, and it's completely non-invasive in vivo scanning, and we'll collect sort of real-time data on what that person's musculoskeletal tissue looks like. From there, we'll take that information and build a geometrical computer model, and then using the laws of physics and physiology, we can then basically figure out how that geometry moves,
wow.
How the muscle or the joint system will move in time, the different strains that might be present in the muscle during a typical motion. And we can even simulate treatments and basically see how muscles will respond to different treatments and try to tailor those treatments and improve them over time.
That's so interesting. And what has been some of your key findings so far? I know this is ongoing research, but what's been some interesting things you've noticed?
Well, one of my PhD students was working on a computational model of basically muscle regeneration. And so many of us are familiar with, you know, exercising. You sort of make the muscle real sore. Over time, that muscle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, that's why people go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole process at the cellular level is what we call muscle regeneration. And it's the process of damaging the muscle by, say, lifting weights, and then the, you know, cells inside the muscle being responsible for breaking down some of that damaged tissue and then rebuilding it up stronger than before. And so this PhD student, Stephanie Koo, basically input into the model a different quantity, a different concentration of satellite cells in one model compared to the initial one. And this is basically an attempt at trying to understand what feature of cerebral palsy might be leading to muscle degeneration. And so with a decreased quantity of satellite cells, so just one cellular component changed in the second model, she found that this whole cascade, this cellular cascade of muscle regeneration, actually led to degeneration over time.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
She was able to suggest that this different concentration of satellite cells that exist in cerebral palsy might be sort of hacking, in a negative way, hacking this muscle regeneration system and being the cause of the muscle degeneration and some of the movement impairments that we see.
It sounds like really fascinating research. Thank you so much for talking to us about it, Dr. Jeffrey Hansfield from the University of Auckland. Best of luck with the rest of your research process. It sounds like it's going to make some really important interventions in people's lives. So we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
Thank you.